Welcome back to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial, 3cr.org.au, that's our website you can go check out. This show is a special episode of The Vibe Consultant. It's a 150% length episode of The Vibe Consultant. My name is Tilda, coming to you live from the Cathedral of Shadows here at 21 Smith Street, here on the most auspicious of days in the transgendered calendar. That would be, of course, Trans Day of Audibility here at 3CR Community Radio. So proud to have been able to coordinate once again for the fifth year that 3CR has hosted our Trans Day of Audibility. It's our longest broadcast ever, 8 hours, and we've had 8 hours of wonderful programming so far. Had some live music, and we're going to get some more live music coming right up. I'm so, absolutely overjoyed about all of this, and I've been so busy I have not even bothered to check out the phase of the moon, which is crazy of me. It's a waxing gibbous phase at the moment, so we are on our way to completion. It's not a good time to start anything, it's a good time to finish stuff, I've got to say. Hitting the full moon on Thursday, on April the 2nd, right there before Easter, so that sounds like a perfect time to finish whatever you're doing and wrap up and take a little break. Moon's currently in Virgo. Boy, I love Virgos out there. Big shout out to Karina, who's been making some wonderful smoothies and that kind of thing. You might want to, with the moon being in Virgo, organize everything and get rid of everything that's kind of chaotic in your life, but that's a fool's impulse. Let things roll, let things flow. You've got to, the moon is your body, and once you start arguing with your body, you're in big trouble. So that's my advice to all of you out there in this trans day of audibility. Such a fun show ahead of us. We have got Askig, also known as Blood of a Pomegranate, here live in the studio. Why don't you say hey to the dozens of listeners out there?
Hello, dozens of listeners. My name is Astrik, aka Blood of a Pomegranate.
Sorry, I'm quite bad at doing the role.
Yeah.
I kind of butchered it, but so glad to have you in the studio. We're hoping to get a live set today, but we have the second best thing here, which is some unreleased music.
Hell
yeah. Thanks for sending that through. Unfortunately, we have had to mix it down to mono. There's some cool panning effects, I understand. Just imagine them. Or maybe like run from one side of the room to the other, shake your head around. You can pan.
Just like spin around really, really quickly.
Yeah. This one's called Sev Arev. What can you tell me about it?
Oh, I can tell you so much. It's a very, very long story, but basically it's about a series of events that culminated in a ritual that I did in a volcano, in a cave, in a volcano in my homeland. Where I camped overnight in this like summit crater cave thing, and summoned an ancient god using like 9th century Arabic practical hermetic summoning spells.
Oh my goodness, that is so on topic for our broadcast here from the Cathedral of Shadows. We are all about summoning things into this world. So
yeah, things you cannot comprehend.
Yeah. Without further ado, Sev Arev, Blood of a Pomegranate.
Thank you. Stay tuned to Trans Day of Audibility on Radical Radio 3CR. 855 on your AM dial.
The work cover system is broken. Delays, denials, and profit-driven decisions are hurting real people physically, mentally, and financially. Add your support to the call for change by the Injured Workers Support Team. Visit the Parliament of Victoria website, find the Legislative Reform for Workers' Compensation System e-petition, and add your name. Stand with the IWST and injured workers. Demand a system that is centred on recovery, dignity, and safety. Sign the petition today. IWST is a 3CR supporter.
CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial. You're listening to the Trans Day of Audibility broadcast here at 21 Smith Street. This is The Vibe Consultant. I'm your host, Tilda, joined here by Blood of a Pomegranate, aka Arts Tibik. I'm trying.
The Western tongue hates rolled R's. Armenian has like three different R letters, and they're varying forms of like rolling and different parts of the mouth. But yeah, it's a R, which is like kind of like the way that French people say like au revoir, you know, or bonjour. It's like the same. It's like a very subtle, like using like the little dangly thing at the back of your throat.
Yeah, right. Kind of a tonsil.
Yeah.
Enunciation. I find it hard to jump from the hard-ish consonant of the T into that roll.
Totally. That's where everyone trips.
It's a skill issue, honestly.
It's language difference.
Language difference. We were just listening there to an unreleased track, Sev Arev, by yourself.
Yeah.
With your Blood of a Pomegranate project. You are, of course, how would you describe your Armenian folk / noise practitioner, perhaps?
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
Definitely very Armenian folk music inspired. Like, a lot of my stuff is inspired by, like, Armenian revolutionary folk music from the, like, the National Liberation Movement that was resisting the Armenian genocide of 1915. And also older, sort of, like, medieval folk songs and even more modern ones, but yeah, also obviously influenced by a lot of industrial music like Einstürzende Neubauten, Laibach, you know, these kinds of bands, and also noise music. It's kind of like a rebellion against like musical forms and the way in which they were kind of enforced upon me when I was growing up.
Yeah,
like I was always told that like the things that I actually love in my own people's music was incorrect, you know, in like the Western. And it's like, okay, if that's incorrect, then I'm just going to say that everything that you say is correct is like up for a challenge, you know, like let me see what it's like when I take this away and I replace it with that, you know, and like,
Well, that was an absolutely huge track. I had a great time listening to that. Surprise to my ears as well.
Sick.
Debuting for me, debuting for the audience. Can't wait for your next release. So you have a background in like classical guitar, is that fair to say?
Yeah. When I was like a teenager, I'm 36 years old now, but when I was a teenager, I was kind of like a classical guitar weirdo. Like very neurodivergent and like it was like the only thing I was good at. Like I was horrible in school and like classical guitar was like the only thing that I was like really excelling at, but even classical guitar I was just kind of like I was trying to find contemporary classical that does like extended range techniques and stuff like that, and like things that had like a really outside and other kind of sound, not really like Bach and you know. I played like a little bit of Paganini. That's about as like classical as it really got for me. Like, I like Paganini because he's insane goth from like late feudal era.
So, some interesting instrumentation going on that track that we just listened to. Some really kind of sounded like to me like some thumping hand drums or something like that. What was going on?
That's the dahol. It's a Armenian folk drum instrument. You play it with your hands. You kind of like flick the skin. It's kind of like you're flicking, you know, clicking with your fingers, but your finger is hitting the actual skin of the drum. And yeah, Armenian folk rhythms, I think, are really cool. And yeah, I was like layering that with like industrial kind of scrap metal percussion stuff. And also using like sound design that I'm taking from like Armenian divine liturgy, like medieval like church music basically, and like mangling the fuck out of it and making it kind of evil, because a lot of my music is kind of like critical of like the of even my own culture. Do you know what I mean? Like, not to give any fucking racist dogs like any juice, but it's like I have my criticisms of literally everything.
Fair enough.
But like, you know, I'm Armenian, so like my music is also a rebellion against certain qualities of Armenian culture that I disagree with. For example, the rising like Christian kind of like nationalistic fervor that's rising in the context of the geopolitical situation that Armenia's in, which is honestly just genocidal and imperialist kind of like shit being done to us constantly, and it's bringing out some nasty cultural things. But we also have like incredibly beautiful cultural themes as well. I love being in Armenia. It's like my favorite place in the world. Like, I love the landscape. I love my queer Armenian homies back home. I love my cousins. A lot of beautiful things back there. But yeah, I gotta criticize where I gotta criticize, you know. None of them are that, like that, but you know, there is a growing trend, unfortunately.
And then we had a fuzzed out solo of some kind.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So that's a woodwind instrument that I play called the duduk, which is a 3,000-year-old double reed instrument that's indigenous to Armenia. And so like part of my musical philosophy is kind of synthesizing ancient and like meta-modern themes into something that's like transcending both in a way. So it's like both like ancient and futuristic or something. And so like I had the duduk electrified with a pickup that's drilled into the body of the instrument, and that amplifies the resonance of the actual wood. It's apricot wood, and that's put through like an Octavia fuzz pedal and into like a hot-rodded Marshall plexi. And like, yeah, it's like, it sounds kind of like a guitar solo, but it's definitely not a fucking guitar solo.
I've known you for some time now, going back to maybe 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
And in that time, you've always had strong opinions about instrumentation, I've got to say. And,
definitely.
And I share some of those opinions. Luna and I were having a heated discussion about 12-tone equal temperament.
Yeah.
Even just today. But I've got a little quote from, I don't know how little it is. I've got a quote from you that I've been carrying around on my phone from Facebook since about 2019. I'll just read it out. No, fuck you, idiots. You just don't fucking get it. The guitar should never have been born out of the oud. It simply is inferior. The oud is powerful and understands that the point of an instrument is to be bold, expressive, and dynamic with the ability to be loud. You've got the doubled up strings spaced far enough apart to give you plenty of space to dig in. It's fretless, so you can develop the tone by the weight of your fingertips, and also glissando without choppy fret rattles and pitch hums, pitch jumps. The low string isn't doubled up because everyone knows we don't let chorus fuck with our bass in music. We never did. Flat top, curved back, because it's all about the volume projection. It can actually play acoustic and be heard alongside percussion instruments. WTF did the guitar bring? A lazier way to intonate? Can only control timbre with your right hand? Sure, you got more scale range, but at what cost? If every note is to die soon after the strike of the strings, why not make the strike count for something? If you can't swell a note, then at least let's have the option to give it a really good thwack. The oud understands that the percussion slash melodic instrument dichotomy is a farce, and that all types of synthesis are possible. Matter of fact, that dichotomy is a recent European invention. The guitar also tries to compete with the Western orchestral classical instrument world, a competition where it has no chance of even being qualified. Did Andre Segovia achieve his goal of having the classical guitar be respected on the level of orchestral instruments? No. And it's a shame, because he's about as good a classical guitarist can get. The problem was he'd chosen a shit instrument to play and a shit drummer that doesn't let you shout and dance like you really want to.
Fucking oath.
All my life I've been fighting my guitar to be something it can never be. I've tried to make it sing like a duduk. I've tried to pound it like a drum. I've tried to make it bark like a trumpet. And when all that failed, I tried to make it work on the electric. I even learnt everything there is to learn about the electric guitar, the different sorts of pedals and amps and cabs. Over a bunch of records I had the honour to produce with other guitar nerds, I even learnt how to make them sound incredible in the studio. But still, that same glass ceiling keeps hitting. It's like we can see through the charade of the electric guitar. We know that it doesn't sound the way we manipulate circuitry to make it sound. We play along because, hell yeah, sounds sick, whatever. But it just doesn't fucking hit for me anymore. I can't go on pretending it's an instrument that's built upon past failures and achieved greatness like the cello or the piano. It's a patchwork of design ideas at best. Too many compromises. I'm breaking up with the guitar is what I'm saying. I'm just not in love with her anymore. We had so much promise and disappointment. Through music school, scholarships, expulsions, conservatorium semesters and dropouts, we learned so much together. She was the basis through which I learned all the things I know about music. Sometimes I pick up the guitar again to put something together for old time's sake. I break old habits, but then the new thing comes another boring habit after a mere day. I never hold on to that sense of wonder that made me hone my craft as a child or young adult for more than a moment. It's so weird going from such an infatuation to such indifference. But soon, I will have an oud, and I will master it like I mastered the guitar.
Damn!
Once I have my oud, my duduk, and my noise-generating laptop and controllers, my musical transformation will be complete. The Metapod will become a Butterfree.
Holy shit. What the fuck? What year is that?
I would have to say around when we met, 2018, 2019.
Jesus Christ.
And I love that. That post says so much. It's quite long. Thank you, everyone, for allowing me to monologue for a while. Do you have an oud?
No, I still don't have a fucking oud. My friend lent me an oud, and I like learned a few folk songs, but like, yeah, I just like never got the money together to get like an actual like proper oud. Like my friend's one is kind of like a acoustic electric one. It's not the right like shape and all these sort of things, and I don't know, like that's kind of cute, like hearing shit that I was saying like fucking 8 years ago or whatever that is. Yeah, it's funny like how relatable it still is.
Yeah,
because I'm still feeling very much the same, and that's really funny.
But also that moment there where it's like, yeah, when I get my duduk and my noise setup stuff there, totally. You know, my Have you transformed into the Butterfree, this trans day of audibility?
Yeah. Damn, yeah, this is me coming out of the closet as a Butterfree. I've been a Metapod for way too long. Metapod's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, I love that post. Glad to bring it to the masses once again. Free it from Facebook. Speaking of duduk, let's hear this track. It's called Duduk Industrial Doom Drone Song Production. Final two or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fucking like so these are unreleased as of yet. They will be released late winter, I think, this year, and there will be physical copies available. There's some really cool things on the horizon, just like quietly sort of, you know, whispering that, not hard hard launching yet, but so this is a untitled song, actually. It's just like, that's just the bullshit like working title I gave it, but yeah, this is going to be like the opening track of the album.
Oh, wonderful. Cool. Let's check it out. We'll be back so soon.
Trans Day of Audibility on 3CR, 855 AM on your radio dial, via digital audio band and online through 3cr.org.au/streaming.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment.
Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Listening to The Vibe Consultants on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, on this Trans Day of Audibility. I'm joined here by Arztrig, and we just listened to the opener for your new album.
Yeah, untitled as of yet.
Work in progress. Thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Thanks for listening.
Some very juicy tones in there, particularly at the end. Very like, chah.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that a lot. And some creepy, like the...
the screams.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Loved all of that spooky, ooky stuff. How about that occult?
Yeah.
Speaking of spooky, ooky stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's part of, you know, you were talking about summoning stuff inside a volcano.
Yeah.
This kind of thing. How does that relate to your work and such?
Yeah, actually, it's been there since the beginning of this musical project, way back when. It's like, actually the name itself was not really like, I didn't really come up with it. Like, it was given to me as like a part of this spiritual experience that I had. That's a fucking long story, but basically, eventually I started like, working with like chaos magic from like the 1970s, and then chaos magic was giving me results, which I was very impressed by because I was actually like a pretty hardcore materialist until I had too many experiences to like continue being a materialist basically. And now I basically do like mostly like ancient magical practices. Like, I'll do spells from the Greco-Roman Egyptian magical papyri from about 2,000 years ago. It's just like a collection of like private journals of professional sorcerers at the time in the like Egyptian and Greco-Roman contexts. And like, they were never actually meant to be published, but like they were unearthed at some point, and now they are translated and published with a lot of gaps in the text. But there are some spells that are completely intact, and they are totally workable in the modern context. And it feels pretty special when you like do a spell, you do it at the right day at the right time, like with the right astrological placements, and you like do this summoning spell that was being recited by sorcerers like 2,000 years ago, and you're burning an incense that it's told you to concoct for it, and it's like, oh, this is the aroma that these ancient sorcerers were smelling when they were summoning this god or goddess or titaness. And then you feel like the temperature change. Like, the most common thing is the temperature drops. Like, you'll feel a noticeable drop in the temperature, and your mind kind of like enters in a very open kind of like trance state, like an altered state of consciousness, and you give offerings, and then you see like literally everything you asked for like manifest in a number of days, usually like like within like 1 to 3 days, like you see it all just like come about, and it's like, oh, what a coincidence, all of these things happened with like seemingly natural causes, but it was like a sequence of events that kind of like unfold into exactly what you were asking for. And I put it into my music often, yeah.
Right. So, for the uninitiated, like chaos magic, 1970s type stuff, like, I'm an uninitiated person, but I understand that's kind of a, like, less structured, less kind of systemic approach to magic. What's your journey been like in terms of coming from that chaos kind of beginnings into, you know, some stuff with a lot of heritage behind it? What's the relationship there?
Well, actually, like, the chaos magic stuff, like, it does come from like a late 19th, early to mid 20th century occultist named Austin Osmond Spare, and he was the one that came up with this like sigil magic sort of thing and chaos magic in 1973. There was this book that dropped called Liber Null and Psychonaut by Peter J. Carroll, and the way that they conceptualize chaos magic is that they create something that's very postmodern. They call it the meta-paradigmal model, and it's basically like a meta-paradigm that looks at all of these different traditions, like ancient, like pagan magic, various forms of shamanism, like Haitian voodoo, American hoodoo as well, and like Solomonic shit, all these different sort of schools. And it looks at like how they all have like a system of practice, and they all do actually like work. You can do any of those different systems, so long as you're like doing that specific system, like it works. And like chaos magic makes this paradigm, meta paradigmal sort of model that explains maybe why that would be the case. I don't necessarily agree, but that's kind of how they look at it. And they're like, you should jump from one paradigm to another. So like, if you want to have like a certain degree of initiation in Taoism, for example, you can get that in Taoism, and then you can jump into like Hermetic magical practices, for example, if you want to get something else. Like, and it's kind of like this way of like shifting your complete belief system in order to like, it's very schizophrenic, it's very like postmodern vibes. But yeah, like I've just kind of like ended up in like ancient magic, and I've not really moved out of that, because I find that to be like the most exciting and the most potent, the most powerful for me. But I haven't done that much other stuff, so I can't really compare that much.
It lines up aesthetically nicely, and I'm not sure, maybe structurally, with, you know, your musical output, which is at once, you know, transgressive and tearing things down and taking, you know, a dissonant approach to stuff, but also at the same time bringing in very, very old traditional, and potent parts of your heritage and of musical history and things like this.
For sure.
There's a bit of a dialectic there or something.
Definitely.
Love it. And yeah, trans people, magic, how about that?
Yeah. So it's been interesting lately. I've been like, I've been more openly talking online on my socials about like occult stuff. I used to just like make it so vague and cryptic, because I just wanted people to be like, is she doing sorcery, or is she just like, is this an aesthetic? And I thought it was really funny, because like, if I'm just like, I don't really like let it be known, but it's like you get all these rumors, you know? So I did that for a while, and then like I was kind of like umming and ahhing if I should talk more openly about this stuff, and I started talking openly about it, and it's been really cool, because now you see like trans people coming to my shows being like, yeah, like I am a practitioner of such and such like esoteric or occult practice. And like, I love that you're doing this with music, because, for example, like a few months ago, I did a performance at Make It Up Club. Shout out Annalie, and shout out Christian Bishop, Bacchus Harsh, lovely homies. And me and Christian did a collaborative set where we were doing a second century poem called The Thunder Perfect Mind. And that is a very transgender poem. I don't know if you've read that, but
I've not read The Thunder Perfect Mind.
You haven't read the second century fucking... You're not up with second century poetry from like Egypt.
I am 19th centuries late to this, I have to admit.
Damn. But yeah, so like I had all these like trans people in the audience. Please. Yeah, no spoilers. The only spoiler I'll give is that, like, it's a goddess that is, like, self-revealing through the poetry, and she's, like, gendering herself, like, in the most chaotic ways. Like, you know, like, I am she who is honored and she who is mocked. I am the whore and the holy woman. And then, like gendering herself as he, like, yeah, just like crazy, like gender swapping throughout the entire poem. And the entire point of it is that this being, this intelligence, this like awe-inspiring power is telling you that your ideas of gender are way too constrictive for her like expression. And I really resonate with that. And so I had all these people in the audience being like, oh, like I do some magical practice and I actually recite this poem as part of my practice every day. And it's like, so like there is a tiny community of like trans people who are like starting to recognize that like historical occult practices and esoteric literature has always been like transcendent of like the confines of gender. And you see it all throughout history, like even like getting up to like the 17th century, like 17th century with Eliphas Levi, like his depiction of Baphomet is literally an androgyne.
Yeah.
And you look even older, like into like Paracelsus, like talking about like the point of alchemy, right? And the like one of the stages of alchemy is the like the union of the male and the female into like the holy androgyne, like the alchemically wedded, like androgynous, like being that is like now you have the integration of all parts of the self instead of a rejection of your femininity or rejection of your masculinity or whatever, because whatever the fuck even those two things mean, you know. Like once you bring them together, it's like you in a much more empowered state, I believe, and a much more complete human. And like I am a trans woman, but also like I look to these old practices as like something that is like very trans, because like they even say like transmutation, like alchemists are transmuting like base substances into gold supposedly, and they're doing like alchemical hermetic practices to like bring about certain qualities of the self, or like, you know, new levels of initiation in the self that are like new levels of experience of self that you wouldn't have had access to before. And I feel like that's just extremely relevant to trans people. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
100%. I'm shattered that we can't continue this conversation. We do need to move on. We've got some live music getting set up over
Let's
there
do
in,
it.
In Studio 3. Well, I haven't exactly got the tick yet, but
cool.
We've got to wrap this up. I'm this has been so much fun.
And yeah, it's been so fun.
I want to do this more.
Yes, please.
If you ever, if the stars align, you can come in and play live.
I'd
love to have you back on the program. We can talk more about this wacky stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's lovely to hang out with you. Like, we go way back, like back to the IWW days.
Yeah.
Like, industrial workers of the world.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you. I've only
seen you, old friend, like...
3 or 4 times since
always the
pandemic started, always at 3CR Community Radio, because that's the only place I get in-person social interaction nowadays.
Well, that's relatable. That's me at shows.
Yeah.
That's the only social interaction I ever get.
But love you, my beloved friend.
I love you too.
Thank you so much for coming in. We are going to play a track now from Shirk Her. Lucy played the last year's Transdave Audibility with her side project 7000, but this is her most recent track. Is called Prep. It's harsh as hell.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and I love it, and yeah, we'll be back so soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Vibe Consultant here on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, on this special Trans Day of Audibility broadcast. Just listening there to a track called Prep by Shirker. I love that project. Lucy's great. And that track is so harsh and says a lot about, being gay and stuff, I've got to say. I am so delighted to bring you friend of the station, Heather Vomiting God, over here in Studio 3. I believe they're ready to go any second now. So without further ado, please enjoy Heather Vomiting God. Thank you.
is a live set of some unreleased material for Trans Day of Audibility here at 3CR.
Do you work in a brothel, massage shop, escort agency, fetish house or dungeon, cam studio or porn set, sauna, short-time hotel, outdoors or on the street, or in any other space where sex work happens? Recent changes to Victorian sex work laws mean that sex workers now have more options for how and where we can work and who we can work with.
To find out more about Victoria's new sex work laws, contact Vixen, Victoria's statewide peer-only sex work organisation, 100% by and for all sex workers on 039-070-9050.
And talk to another sex worker about what the partial decriminalisation of sex work means for you, your workplace and your community. Or check out the Decrim Info Hub at vixen.org.au. Vixen is a 3CR supporter.
Hello, this is Chloe Allison Escott of the Native Cats. And you are listening very closely, I hope, to 3CR.
We're LXRP. We love community radio. If you love rock music, subscribe to 3CR, this subscriber drive.
You're listening to the Trans Day of Audibility broadcast on 3CR Community Radio.
Listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial, 3cr.org.au, that's our website. My name's Tilda and I am proud to be bringing you the close of this Trans Day of Audibility broadcast, special broadcast. We're just listening to Heather Vomiting God live in Studio 3. It's been a great day for a lot of things, but it's been a great day here on the Vibe Consultant for some unreleased music. Love to be checking that out. Huge thanks to Heather, and equally huge, if not greater, thanks to Luna for handling sound there. That was Luna's first solo live to air there, and couldn't be prouder. Great job, honey. Yeah, we've got Heather here in the studio. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Total pleasure. Thanks for coming back here. You've been here to the 3CR Community Radio station before with your band LXRP.
That's right. We did a live to air in that very studio.
Yeah.
In, I think it was February last year.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Very different kind of style.
Very different. Extremely different. Yeah.
Very different kind of style. But you're playing guitar in that band, but you're also programming drums and
That's
things.
True. Using the same instrument.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
A little bit of similarity.
Tell me about the Heather Vomiting God project. How did that come into being?
Yeah, it's pretty much a mixed electronic act. It kind of started like years and years ago, listening to I played like the Silent Hill games a lot as a kid and really found the music particularly evocative, and
you're so
I was
brave
sort of like
because I got the demo disc when I was a kid and that creeped the hell out of me.
Oh yeah.
I've
yeah,
never
yeah.
been brave enough to play.
I grew up in a family of horror enjoyers, so it was nothing to me. But yeah, I was sort of like trawling through how that music was made, and then found a bunch of samples from old like 90s sample CD-ROM repositories that Akira Yamaoka, the composer, had been using. And I thought, well, that's I just assumed he'd made all of it himself. A lot of it was him, but a lot of it was this really weird repository of samples. And at that same time, I'd just gotten the Polyan Tracker, which is what I use to make music secondhand, and just started playing around with these samples, putting them with like break beats and that kind of thing, which I was listening to a lot of at the time. And it kind of just took off from there, just making breakcore, I guess, at the time with like Silent Hill samples. And it's kind of just moved on from there. I don't really use the Silent Hill stuff anymore. The name stuck, I guess.
Right. I was going to say that's a Silent Hill reference for
the name is, yes. Yeah. Based off of the main character of Silent Hill 3, who literally vomits up God at one point at the end. And my own name is Heather as well, so I thought it was a nice fit.
Did you, we've had a show earlier today about how trans people pick their names. Did you name yourself after Silent Hill protagonist Heather?
I guess technically. I think it was more of just an appreciation of the name, and that I liked it. I wouldn't really say it's from any like personal, like deep and meaningful connection with the character. I mean, it's a good game, but it's not my favourite Silent Hill, so I wouldn't say it's anything like deeper than I just thought it was a nice name.
Silent Hill 2 is your favourite?
Silent Hill 4 is my favourite, which is controversial.
Yeah, that is controversial.
Yeah, that's my favourite one.
For someone who's never played one of them, I just understand that Silent Hill 2 is the good
one. That's a lot of people's favourite, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, the good one, I hear. Not to speak ill of Silent Hill and Konami in general, I suppose. Hell yeah. And how would you describe what you're doing at the moment? You said you started off with the kind of breakcore kind of thing.
Yeah, I started with the breakcore and then moved more to like old school jungle kind of stuff. And then after that, started doing some like outside a house, I guess you'd call it, like stuff that was specifically evoking like this particular like house music scene that was around in like New York City in 2015 or something like that. Just like very repetitive, minimalist, like kind of ambient house music. And incorporating that with some of the breakbeats. And then I think this new stuff that I just played today is sort of continuing that line a little bit more, but leaning closer towards more like Andy Stott kind of really reverb-soaked like style kind of thing.
Fun. And you use a tracker. Can you explain for the players at home how does the tracker work? How's that?
Yeah, so I use the Polyend tracker, which is a it's a hardware sampler and sequencer, pretty much, using like a tracker interface. And trackers are a thing that sort of came out of like the Amiga music creation scene, so like really old computer hardware, and it's essentially just a like, if you can imagine like an Excel spreadsheet that scrolls downwards, and you're sort of just like inputting notes or like samples, triggers and stuff like that on particular like cells of this Excel spreadsheet. And that's pretty much how it operates. So it's like fairly similar to like later digital audio workstations like your Ableton's and stuff like that, but it's just like a very different kind of interface.
Yeah, I think things like Ableton and, you know, your standard stuff are still very tied to the kind of sheet music score kind of metaphor, and the trackers are really cool for that reason, because they're jumping out of that. Oh, we have not much time left. I'm so sorry we haven't got to have a bit of a longer chat. Really appreciate you coming in today to perform. Today has been such a great day, and I just have to throw out a whole bunch of thank yous right here. Got to thank Michaela, our programming coordinator, for helping put all this together. Got to thank all the people who've contributed to the shows today, and not just the broadcasters, also the guests and things. People have talked about some hard stuff. It's hard work, but yeah, the broadcasters, people have been working their guts out to make all of this happen. It's our fifth year running. It's gone for eight hours this year, our longest one yet. I hope next year is even bigger. And yeah, my last big thank you has got to be to the 3CR community radio community in general for making this space for us, and letting us take over the airwaves yet again. Such a privilege in a world where everything is kind of cooked. Here's a place where we can talk about Gaza, we can talk about disability, we can talk about Indigenous incarceration, we can talk about even, yes, gender on the airwaves. Special place, got to thank the station a lot for making the space here. Hey, your band, LXRP, they released a bit of a single recently, huh?
That's true. I think about a month ago now.
Yeah. This is, I think, maybe one of my favorite of yours that I've heard.
Oh, thank you.
Of them. So I'm going to play it. It's called Maintenance.
That's correct.
And it rules. Stay tuned. We've got Done by Law coming up next, and Vibe Consultant will be back to its normal time of 2 p.m. next Tuesday with Elysium in the hot seat. I've been Tilda, signing off for the 2026 Trans Day of Audibility, and I just want to say to everyone listening out there, love you so much. Catch you later. Maintenance, LXRP.
They say